Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. We're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, Paul Keith Davis. I'm speaking to him by way of telephone at his office in Orange Beach, Alabama. And Paul, I am really fascinated by the information you brought forth in your book, Angels That Gather. And for those that are just tuning in for the first time, Paul moves in revelatory, prophetic visions. He sees things in the invisible world, and he's seen what is coming. And one of the ways that God has prepared him for this is he studied the lives of many famous men and women of God. And one of the people we were talking about, actually, there's so many I'd like to discuss with you, Paul, but Branham had so many prophecies that came true to the decimal point, and so many that haven't happened yet. Tell me about some of these prophecies.
Well, you know, Brother Branham was certainly one of the most interesting people that we've seen in the 20th century, and there's a lot of controversy around his life, but I've interviewed dozens and dozens of people, and clearly, you know, he made mistakes, as everyone did, and maybe even some of his teachings we don't necessarily agree with or fully understand. But one thing is undeniable. Even among his worst critics, they said the level of prophetic accuracy in his life was uncanny. It had not been seen since the early church. And so that's what I'm after. I'm after what the Lord said. And it's not about a man or even a woman. It's about what God said and what is the pertinence of that to our generation. And I didn't want us to lose something. So as I began to study Brother Branham's life, I wanted to understand what he did to capture God's attention and then also to move in the level of accuracy. And in the process, I discovered there were some prophecies that he gave that have not yet been fulfilled, but we have every expectation will be. One of them is called the tent vision. Tent vision was something that came at the end of his life, and by his own admission, Brother Branham actually thought that he was going to see the fulfillment of it in his lifetime. But the essence of the tent vision was that he was looking prophetically at a future meeting. It was in a big tent because back in the 50s, that's the way they had many of their meetings. And he saw people gathered outside the tent by the thousands, thousands and thousands of people that were blind and lame and halt, all manner of diseases and infirmities. It was just a very, very sad picture. But in the tent, there was another tent, a smaller tent. And he was watching as the people were lined up outside the smaller tent with all of these terrible conditions, and one by one they were going in, and no one could actually see what was going on inside the tent. But the important point was they went in one way, sick and lame and blind, and they came out totally healed and covered in the glory of God. He believed that he would see that in his own ministry before he died. Of course, Brother Branham was taken in a car wreck in 1965, and that vision was never fulfilled.
Well, you know, Catherine Coleman said she foresaw the day that people would go into hospitals and clear the whole hospitals out of the sick.
I believe that's what he saw. I don't believe necessarily we'll see a literal tent. I believe what he saw was this end-time generation emerging as sons of the kingdom, who have become the habitation of God, where the Lord will literally fulfill the Feast of Tabernacles and tabernacle in a body of people, doing through them all the great things that he did when he walked the earth in human form 2,000 years ago. And I believe that's where we are now. I don't believe there's anything else that we can do that would bring in the harvest other than a demonstration of God himself. And that's where I believe a first fruits harvest of people right now will be emerging as forerunners or pioneers, if you'd like to use that term, that will begin to pioneer this whole new perspective from God.
And that's one of the reasons you've studied some of these people like Branham and Allen and Catherine Coleman and John G. Lake. Tell me about one of the others.
Well, you know, God said they were prototypes, and that's a very unusual term. And he gave them to us as a token to begin to understand that realm in God. And you mentioned John G. Lake. He was a fascinating person, very bright man, who went to Africa, South Africa, and won thousands to the Lord. He walked in a demonstration. But he had four very distinct encounters in his life. And I'll just very quickly go through those because I believe this is where we are as a generation. But the first was a salvation experience. It was profound. The second was a sanctification experience that was profound. He a very specific juncture of his life. The third was when he went down to Chicago, Illinois, to partner with Alexander Dowie, who was a very powerful man. And, you know, there's been a lot of dishonoring of Alexander Dowie, but he was a great man. He clearly made a mistake at the end of his life by his own admission. He made some proclamations that were not good, but he was still a great man, a great pioneer. But John G. Lake received, you know, the ministry of healing from him. But he said even while he was seeing people being saved by the thousands and cancers withering up and falling off of people right there in meetings, he said he hungered for God more than he ever had in his life. Most of us would have said, well, he's arrived. If he's doing the miracles and he's seeing salvation, what more is there? And he wasn't even sure, but he said that he set his heart to understand what that was he was longing for and began to pray and fast for 9 months. And he said, by his own admission, we have a wonderful transcript of his sermons because his wife was a stenographer. So we have a great record of his messages. But he preached this in a message called Triune Salvation. And he said as he went to a person's home to pray for a woman, he sat down in a chair, and the answer to his 9 months of prayer happened that day when he said the tangible, visible glory of God came down and rested not only upon him, but within him. And he said at that point, and this is a very unusual phrase that he used, he said, I became a Christ man. And he said, I began to demonstrate not only his power, but his nature. And that's what I believe is a prototype of these sons of the kingdom emerging today, that there is something beyond just doing the miracles, as important as they are, because they are phenomenally important. But there is a place where we can become the habitation of God. Then the demonstration of the miraculous and the supernatural goes to an entirely different level. And I believe he is a prototype of this day.
Last year, you had a vision about the lid coming off of hell. Briefly tell me about that.
One of the more deeply impacting revelations I've had was that very one. Happened on an evening when I couldn't sleep. I felt troubled in my spirit. My wife had gone to bed. I prayed until I just couldn't pray anymore. I was prayed out. Sometime after midnight, I just decided to go to bed. And I laid my head on the pillow. And the second my head hit the pillow, the spirit realm opened up. And this was unusual, but I began to audibly articulate what I was seeing. And it woke my wife up, and she listened to me and actually kept some of the records of what I was saying. But I was looking down into the bowels of hell. That's the only expression I know to give. And I saw an iron lid that was covering up a compartment of hell. And, of course, this was parabolic in nature. But I saw the lid being removed, and I was screaming out, don't take it off, don't take it off. But it was removed. And I saw evil spirits, unrestrained, being released into our generation. But what was interesting was I was able to watch those evil spirits coming out of hell, going into the bedrooms of people and teaching people how to walk in deeper realms of darkness. Since that time, I've had numerous reports of people that have actually had that happening, people that are contending for evil. But the good news was, when I felt like I couldn't look any longer, I was so overwhelmed by the darkness of what I was seeing, a voice came booming out of heaven, and the sons of light must respond in like fashion. And I saw angels pouring out of heaven, just pouring out of heaven. And I realized they were angels of a unique caliber. They were different. I believe they're the angels of Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 9, where it says that in our affliction he was afflicted, but he sent the angel of his presence. And there's a host of angels that stand in the presence of Almighty God. and they've been released into our day. And I watched as these angels were manifesting themselves, very much the way we see in the book of Acts, manifesting themselves in people's bedrooms, teaching people how to walk in greater realms of glory. And I knew that the confrontation between light and darkness that the Bible foretold is here.
But you know, as I see the news today, as I look what's going on in the world today, there's such a clear contrast. There's never been such a contrast, but I think it's going to be even stronger, and it's literally a battle of the kingdom of heaven versus the kingdom of this world. And what you're described is people are being given a choice.
Absolutely. You know, just to give you a news item that I believe was very consistent with this revelation, we're told about a year or so ago, maybe a little longer, that Ahmadinejad, this leader of Iran, was making a speech before the United Nations, and in the secular press, world news today and different press releases, they said a mysterious light appeared around Ahmadinejad that was visible to the natural eye. And it says for 28 minutes, the people literally sat there as if in a trance, mesmerized by this man. Well, that was an example of a demonic anointing. I believe an angel of darkness had anointed that man, because at the very moment he was saying that, he was talking about the destruction of Israel. And I believe that was just a little token example of what's happening behind the scenes. And I feel like our message is that we're to awaken people to this, because if we aren't aware of it, we're going to be caught off guard.
You know, I'm seeing such hatred on the sides of people that are perhaps against Israel having the covenant promised land, the issue of homosexuality, the issue of abortion. I mean, there is literally hatred against biblical positions. And maybe what we're seeing is those people that have turned themselves over to those demonic spirits.
I certainly believe that's exactly what's happening, and we must be prepared for this conference.
And that's why I want to make your book available to as many people as possible, Angels That Gather. This book will literally, there's an anointing for prophetic access to your inheritance for the end times. We're making it available for donation of $20, Angels That Gather.
If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.